Luke's Christmas story is the one that we read on Christmas Eve. It is the one with the cozy animals and the shepherds and the singing angels, the one that's easy to sort of domesticate into a Hallmark moment of peacefulness for Christmas Eve, for that night that we celebrate Jesus' birth. Matthew's story, on the other hand, is the adult version. Matthew's story has no furry animals. It has nothing soft, nothing gentle about it. Matthew tells a story that begins with power and violence, because that is the world in which he lives. It is the world in which we live, where life, real life, leaves marks on us. Scars, hurts, pain, suffering, disappointment, frustration. Real life has tragedy, and loss. The world that Matthew occupied is one that was harsh, unforgiving, oppressive, violent. Herod ruled with terror. There is no such thing as a benevolent empire, then or now. Trauma was real. But while Matthew's story starts in violence, it ends very differently. It ends with resurrection, with new life, with an overturning of all of the power games and power structures of our world, embracing all people, even those who had betrayed Jesus and run away. Jesus calls back to make disciples of all nations. So into this story that Matthew paints, there is a child. This holy child. And one commentator wrote that you can't say anything about Matthew's gospel without spending time with a toddler. Because the child in this story is not this infant in a manger, but it's a toddler. In a few verses, Herod will call upon his forces to murder all those male children, 2 and under. So this child is now a toddler. And if you spent any time with a toddler, you know that toddlers demand your complete attention. Always. They are pure energy, pure emotion, pure joy, pure sorrow, you name it. They are on a roller coaster. But they are just present in the moment, every moment, and they invite you along. They don't know prejudice. Everyone is their best friend. Everyone is someone to play with. Everyone is someone that they will happily share their half-eaten cookie with. And you take it. Because you have to. And in those precious moments when a toddler gets sleepy, you're holding him or her, and their head falls on your shoulder, and that weight. You rock. And they fall asleep, and it's almost as if your heartbeats melt into one. It's almost as if that love that is present, that pure love that is present in this child, becomes part of you and you become part of it. This is what the Magi saw. This is what they came and visited. This toddler, full of energy and vulnerability and love and emotion. The presence of God in this child. Completely trusting those around him. Completely loving all who came. It is almost too easy to talk about the difference between the reaction of the Magi to the announcement of Jesus' coming and the reaction of Herod. On the one hand, the Magi were filled with joy. Herod was troubled. Yeah, I love that, troubled. Yeah, like, you know, am I gonna have enough gas, right? No, this isn't troubled. This is like, he was really panicked. And all Jerusalem panicked, all Judea panicked with him because he was known to be reactive and violent when he didn't get his way, when he thought he was being challenged, when he thought someone might usurp his power. Herod had worked too hard for too long to get where he was, and he wasn't about to let any little toddler get in his way. It is interesting. If the Magi hadn't stopped in Jerusalem to share the good news about this star that they had seen and followed, Herod never would have known. Or maybe it would take him a whole lot longer. Twitter wasn't invented yet. But what that tells me is that even for Herod, the good news is proclaimed. The good news that there is a new ruler, a new way of being, a new way of being in relationship with one another as human beings. There's a new king. The king that rules by love and laughter, by giggles and crumbling cookies. And this terrified Herod. We know in our own time that the same violence, the same power structures still exist. We pray for peace, but sometimes we really just want our own people to be safe. And we don't care so much about everyone else. This story tells us, Matthew tells us, that even Herod needs to hear the good news. Even Herod needs to be brought along. We know he doesn't respond very well. But we also know that in that response, he shows who he is. He shows that the path of violence is not the one that is going to bring us together. The path of trying to destroy our enemies is not going to bring us forward. That what we need is a different way. The Magi came and they saw this child, they were overcome with joy. They bowed down. They offered gifts. They respond to the child and to this new way and to this way of love and peace and generosity and grace and forgiveness, knowing that this is the true path to the divine. This is the true path of humanity. This is the true path that we are to follow. So the story says, they go home another way. Certainly they go home because they don't want to go past Jerusalem and have to face Herod again. But I believe they also go home another way because they've been changed. They have seen something and they can't unsee it. When we have been touched by the love of God, when we observe the grace offered to us that we don't deserve, we are changed. We have to go a different way because we can't be the same person we were before. There is a before and there is an after. In my own life, that before and after, one of them, came at the adoption of our son. Because he had special needs, we worked through the state system, and they had to ask us all these questions to say, do you really want to adopt this child? You know he's going to have these medical challenges and blah, 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 blah. And we're like, yeah, so? This child is the sibling of our daughter that we had adopted 2 years prior. There was no way we were going to say no. And what it told me in that moment when we found out about Charlie is that somehow God knew that Charlie was going to come along. Because my husband and I were the third set of adoptive parents that were chosen for our daughter. The first two, for whatever reason, turned it down. Turned down this child. One, because she was just too premature, and they weren't really sure, and they had just started this adoption thing, and, well, you know, couldn't we find an easier baby? Yeah, there really wasn't an easier baby with that one. And the second, because they had been in the adoption process for so long, for about 7 years, they're like, well, we're happy to take this child, but, you know, I've got a business trip. And then we were going on vacation. And then, you know, I think maybe like at the end of the next month, maybe we could think about it. And the social worker said, okay, seriously, like you take this child home on Friday or not? And they're like, oh, then not. And we were the third choice. Sometimes third time's the charm. But I have to believe that when Charlie came into our lives with all of his challenges, that we knew going in, it was as if God was waiting for someone to keep them together. And after that moment, you're changed, right? You can't just go about life thinking that it operates the way that it used to operate. You know that there's something more and there's some kind of love that bridges time, that bridges distance, that bridges all of this. This love that binds us together one to another. This love that brings us into one family. One human family. It's the love that the Magi saw and that child Jesus. We begin now this season of Epiphany, this season of surprises, this season where the light of God is revealed in ways that are unexpected. How do we open our hearts? Find room for that child, for the laughter and joy that Jesus brings to our lives. How will we be changed? How will we go from this place by a different route?